Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of all the crazy things that this college football playoff committee has ever done, I never thought they would put Notre Dame in this vulnerable of a position. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Latest college football rankings came out. Everyone's upset. But the one thing, Pearl, that I'm surprised is that Alabama jumped Notre Dame in the latest rankings, which leaves Notre Dame now at 10. Now, 10 is really like near the chopping block here because there's 12 teams, obviously, and two of those could go to conference champions that are slotted in because they get automatic bids. Obviously, Notre Dame, not in a conference, needs to get a at-large bid yep. all the time. So the fact that they put Notre Dame right there on the bubble, so to speak, means that if BYU, Brigham Young, if they somehow beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship game, Notre Dame could be out completely. I'm stunned.
I don't think it's happening. I think Notre Dame's fine. I'm not going to waste my energy on this. I'm mad for EJ's Miami Hurricanes. I'm mad for the Texas Longhorns. I'm mad for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Like, there are teams that are great and that deserve to be continue to play. I don't think you have to worry about Notre Dame because BYU is not beating Texas Tech. Texas Tech, I am now convinced, they are a semi-quasi NFL team. That defensive line is like, whoa, that's better than my NFL team's defensive line. I think they're going to be good, and they're 13-point favorites. BYU's going to lose, and it's going to be Notre Dame. I'm telling you right now, I don't know why they didn't just announce it's going to be Notre Dame over Miami. That would be the most awkward thing. It's going to be Notre Dame.
Well, do they need to announce that it's Notre Dame over Miami? They've consistently put Notre Dame ahead of Miami through all of their rankings. Now, this was a little bit of bad timing for Miami because the college football playoff rankings don't start until like midway through the year, which is right exactly when Miami lost 2 of 3 and went through their little midseason swoon.
Yeah, great point.
Now, meanwhile, for Miami, they have gotten themselves out of it. So to be fair to them, they have looked really good over the last 4 or 5 weeks or so. But they started from a lower spot, and we know how hard it can be to leapfrog. So that's a little bit like Vanderbilt, for example. They just beat Tennessee in their rivalry game, and they didn't move at all. It's just so bananas. So the one part to me is Notre Dame being this close to the chopping block. I'm just kind of stunned because we always think Notre Dame gets this red carpet and always gets the benefit of the doubt, which they are against Miami. They lost that head-to-head, and they continue to get ranked above them.
But let's see. There's one bigger brand than Notre Dame out there.
Alabama. That's the other one. So now Alabama is in this interesting spot where Bama is going to play Georgia in the SEC championship game. But if they lose to Georgia, they will be a 3-loss team. Now, should that impact them? Yeah. They already beat Georgia once on the road. You could argue that's maybe the best win anyone's had in college football this season, individual win. But at the flip side, you know, Alabama did lose that Florida State game. Like, that did happen. It was week one, but they got rocked. And, you know, I think all these games are supposed to matter, but I guess that's not true. Alabama obviously did also lose against Oklahoma, but they really controlled that game, but they lost in the last final seconds.
Yeah, I mean, feels hard for me to look at that 12-team playoff and say Alabama shouldn't be in there. They're a good team, obviously. I don't think they're necessarily a national title threat, but they seem to belong in there more than Oklahoma to me, even though Oklahoma beat them. So it's a very, very tricky piece of all the head-to-head. I think they need to just really, really address the strength of schedule differences. The fact that, for example, Ohio State and Indiana really played nobody. Oregon played nobody.
Well, Indiana beat Oregon on the road. That's a big win.
Well, I know, but
those
two
Ohio
teams,
State
but
beat Texas.
Yeah, but we don't have a third team. Like, how do we know Indiana? How do we know it's a big win?
Well,
we haven't
Penn
seen
State
Oregon
did,
beat anybody.
Penn State didn't live up to their end of the bargain there. I guess Oregon beat Penn State. That was a good win
at the
time.
No,
but
no,
Penn State was supposed to be that fourth team in the Big Ten that was supposed to be, like, a little more top-heavy with
but
that
it,
conference.
It wasn't. I mean, no, I so, yeah, it's hard to tell. It's just, you watch college football this season, like, why are all these SEC teams who are ranked playing each other every week, and why does basically all the Big Ten teams play Maryland every week? Is Maryland just rotating among all the top teams or whoever? Maryland's actually okay. But the Big Ten was such a joke that it was impossible to tell who's who.
I mean,
is this a good Oregon team, by the way? Is this team?
I don't know.
Could last year's Oregon team have whooped this year's Oregon team? Possibly.
Well, probably. But, you know, that Oregon team was basically ranked number one the entire season. But my whole thing about Oregon is I think they're benefiting a little bit from brand at this point because they are a one-loss team. I understand that. So in the loss column, that could be what the committee's looking at.
Of course.
But BYU is also a one-loss team.
But they're the Big 12, not the Big 10.
Yeah, but Texas Tech is also in the Big 12, and they're ranked in the top four. Like, I obviously, they don't think the Big 12 is nothing. And so, to me, like, what are the really great wins that Oregon's had? They haven't beaten anyone now who's in this college football playoff field. At all. Now,
yeah,
they beat USC. Okay, good. You beat Washington. You beat Iowa on the road. We were in a dogfight there. What are the other really good wins here from Oregon? Anyway, there's a lot to nitpick. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Meanwhile, can I update you on some coaching news?
Sure.
Penn State, SOL. So the latest overture was to Kalani Sitake, who is the BYU head coach, but look out, the BYU donors came through in a big way, including, and this is kind of silly, but the CEO of Crumble Cookie stepped up, Pearl, along with maybe, rumor has it, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that the church may have gotten involved. Now, that's unverified, but that is the rumor out there. So Sitake is going to stay with BYU, and Penn State gets rebuffed once again. I mean, it seems at this point like everyone's using Penn State to get contract extensions, which is not a bad thought. But, you know, do you think there's any part of Penn State that regrets firing James Franklin, considering now it looks like it's so hard for them to fill this role?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you put it that way, yes. But in the long run, no. I don't think that they wanted James Franklin there anymore. As a quasi-Penn State fan, I certainly didn't want James Franklin there anymore. I think he's a good coach. But we were talking earlier about how Mike Tomlin has sort of played out the string in Pittsburgh. That was going nowhere with James Franklin. If he can't win with that team, then what are we doing here? I mean, he's had a lot of good players come through. And if they're not going to win the title, I just don't think that he was going to take them over the hump.
Can I just also point you to something else that I learned from our friends at the Cover 3 podcast who cover college football? I don't follow the recruiting rankings so closely, but according to them, Penn State, with today being National Signing Day, by the way, so happy National Signing Day to one and all, Penn State has the lowest rated recruiting class in the entire Big Ten.
Don't they only have five players?
I mean, think about that.
That's so, because they haven't recruited anybody. They don't have anybody in there.
They don't have a coach, right? And they don't have anyone there, although they did fire their coach midseason, which in theory gave you a jump on this. Like, LSU fired Byron Kelly. They got a jump on Lane Kiffin. Florida fired Billy Napier. They were trying to get a jump on Lane Kiffin. Turns out they land with John Sumrall. But they had this stuff ready to go. Penn State now, I mean, Matt Rhule said no. Eli Drinkwitz said no. Kurt Cignetti said no. Now Kalani Sitake says no. Bill Bryan even, like, I don't know who said no to who on that one. He even got an extension at Boston College, a former Penn State coach. I think now if Penn State wants to save face here, I think they got to get someone from the NFL and make it seem like, oh, wait, this was the plan all along. We always wanted Brian Daboll, or we always wanted Cliff Kingsbury, or something like that, to say, hey, this looked like the plan. Because right now, they look like they're being used.
Oh, definitely. What's the latest on that interim guy that had some movement?
Terry Smith?
Yeah, why did they just hire him? I didn't even really follow through on that.
I don't know. I mean, interim coaches, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, Ole Miss is rolling with their defensive coordinator, who they made the full-time coach, not even interim.
Well, right.
But still.
The only thing I will say is this doesn't feel as dire as it would have 5 years ago because of the transfer portal. So you could stink to high heaven next year and still be good in 3 years. Because it's not about your high school recruiting class anymore, really, at all. In fact, I wonder, you know, do you really want these high school players in there? You're putting in a lot of money and development into guys who might leave.
I kind of look at it a little like how the NFL looks at the draft and free agency, right? Yeah. You build your team through the draft, but you complement the team with free agency. That's kind of in like a overly simplified version, I think, of what college football is now.
Right, but if you look at the top 12 teams in the playoff, how many of them were recruited quarterbacks and how many are transferred?
But that's just one spot. So you can keep that quarterback spot rotating.
Yeah,
it is the key spot, but you need, there's 900 more guys on a football team.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. But then again, you can also make a lot of inroads there, especially, you know, for example, you could get a star left tackle if you're willing to pay up this year. Jordan Seaton will be in the transfer portal so that you can rebuild really, really fast. So I don't, honestly, who knows? They could trip into the best possible situation here. Maybe not next year because you're right, they already lost their recruiting class. But I'm not out on Penn State. This could all work out well. I've seen coaching hires, especially in the NFL, where people did not get their guy and they land on some other guy. And that other guy turned out to be great. The Eagles did not want Doug Peterson to be their coach. And he won the first Super Bowl in franchise history. They were turned down by multiple people.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. I feel like with the college football, the coach is just the whole program. You know, in the NFL, quarterback's the program.
Now I think it's a GM-coach combo.
Possibly. All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is Wednesday, which means it is time for The Great Debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, Pearl.
All right.
This one inspired by our producer, EJ, and his allegiance to the Miami Hurricanes. Today's great debate, what is the greatest college football injustice of all time?
Okay. I'll start, and I admit this is kind of weak and a little personal, but in the mid-90s, Andrew Perloff was a massive Penn State fan. I know you guys don't buy my Penn State fandom, and the reason was they had a dream team in Happy Valley. Listen to this skill position. Kerry Collins at quarterback. Kajana Carter at running back, Kyle Brady at tight end, Bobby Engram at one receiver, and they had another receiver who was good too. Sorry, I don't have that in the story I'm looking at. They were undefeated. They did not get to play the eventual champion Nebraska in the title game because it was 2 years before the BCS. Mm. So as the Big Ten winner, they were contractually obligated to go play Oregon in the Rose Bowl, and then Nebraska had to play Miami. And reading behind the scenes, the only reason that the committee or the AP actually at that time ranked Nebraska higher because Tom Osborne was wrapping up his career and they were worried that he would end without a title and he was a very, very popular man. So they said, we know Penn State's a better team, but we want to hook up Tom Osborne. So therefore, an undefeated Penn State Nittany Lion team did not win the national championship. If that happened today, can you imagine the incredible controversy and blowout to have an all-star team, Penn State, to be left aside for a Nebraska team who barely beat Miami in the title game, was not nearly as good. That, to me, is my greatest controversy, for anybody who remembers that.
Do you remember at all, 25 years ago, of you guys thinking, boy, I wish there was a playoff of sorts? Was that ever in your mind at all at the end of the year?
Absolutely. Actually, I just was discussing that today with some of my former teammates. It was actually a perfect year. It was a perfect setup for a BCS scenario, which was pre-playoff. The two best teams in the country, the only two undefeated major teams in the country were us and Nebraska, so it would have set up perfectly for a BCS scenario. But even beyond that, I mean, it would have been an awesome year for a playoff, a four team, or maybe even more.
By the way, the BCS, in large part, came out because of this year. They were so upset that Penn State didn't get a shot. It made sense. Like, trust me, they've been evolving the system. You think it's bad now? Man, it used to be just awful. There were so many good teams who didn't get a shot.
All right. That's a good one. We're talking about what is the greatest college football injustice. That's the great debate for today. But, Pearl, you think this stuff is back in the 90s. I mean, I'll take you to something way more recent. And my biggest college football injustice of all time, you only have to go back to the 2023-2024 season when Florida State runs the table. They go 13-0, and they got left out for an Alabama team.
TCU and Baylor in 2014 were heartbroken, devastated, and I'm sure there is a lot of anger in Tallahassee as a result of this. Just a terribly unfortunate set of circumstances. They left Mike Norvell, who has done a fabulous job at Florida State, put the Seminoles in position, and now...
I don't know if Penn State, I don't think Florida State's even gotten over this yet. I mean, the program outside of that win over Alabama at the beginning of this season is basically nosedive since then. And I think it's just devastating. That was still the four-team playoff. Now, Jordan Travis, the quarterback, got hurt. He broke his leg in a game against North Alabama, a game that the Seminoles won 58-13. His backup quarterback only came in to beat Florida on the road in the swamp and then beat Louisville. And obviously they lost to Georgia and got smoked in the Orange Bowl because the team was just so devastated and basically no one even suited up for the game. So they finished the season 13-1, but they were 13-0. Just still to put Alabama in there. And I thought it was probably because Nick Saban ends up being the last game that he ever coaches is that loss, close loss. So to me, this is the greatest college football injustice. And again, I think Florida State, a once proud program, is still still feeling the effects of that.
It's only been 2 years, right?
I know.
But DJU the next year, that didn't quite work out.
Yeah, the transfer portal doesn't always do what it's supposed to do. All right, EJ, the greatest college football injustice is what?
Miami's been getting screwed by the powers that be at college football for a very long time. And I could run to more playoff national championship nonsense like the 2000 BCS when Miami beat Florida State, but somehow Florida State got a national championship game. Miami's going to go away from, you know, dealings with committees and BCS and computers. Get away from that. Let's go to the actual field and the original crooks that usually steal stuff from players and coaches on the field. I'm going to the referees. Let's go back to 2003, the Fiesta Bowl. Miami's playing in a national championship game against Ohio State. And the impossible happened.
The ball goes into the end zone, and it is incomplete. Intended for Gamble. Now there is a penalty flag thrown.
Hold on.
Hold the phone. Everybody comes running down on the field. You got to get off because there's a penalty flag thrown, and I think it's against Miami.
And if it's thrown in the end zone, the ball will be placed on the one-yard line. First and goal.
Refs suck. That's right. Refs do suck. And this is probably the villain origin story for one EJ Stewart. This is Miami getting called for a phantom pass interference call against Ohio State on a 4th-and-3 in overtime. Had the call not been made 30 seconds after the play happened, the flag came in out of nowhere. Miami would have won his second straight national championship, would have been back-to-back undefeated seasons, and would have probably encapsulated maybe the greatest college football dynasty of all time. Instead, the play resumed. Ohio State scored a touchdown. They went on to win in overtime. But I look back at that and a lot of Miami's sorrows since that game, and I don't know if Miami's quite gotten over still that pass interference from 2003. So that is my pick for the greatest college football injustice, something that happened actually on the field.
But was that Miami team really? Did they have any talent?
This is all future Hall of Famers on that one. Let's go to Manny. The greatest college football injustice is what?
I'll go back to a long, long time ago. It's 1998. I was just a year old, toddling around. When the Kansas State Wildcats finished the regular season undefeated 11-0, they were ranked second in the country, heading into the Big 12 championship game against Texas A&M. They lost to Texas A&M in double overtime, and they lost their chance at a bid in the national championship game and the BCS national championship game. After the Big 12 title game, Kansas State did not receive a spot, and that led to the Kansas State rule, in which if you are a non-champion of a conference team, you end up getting the bid. If a rule comes out after you become, you know, job like that, I mean, come on.
The old guard's kind of laughing today, and saying, I told you so. Yeah, Pewter said all along we wouldn't have three unbeaten. Tennessee, of course, and Florida State headed for the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Kansas State, interestingly, does not move one bit in the BCS standings.
justice for Bill Snyder. I got 98 K-State Wildcats.
All right, folks, take us home. What's the biggest college football injustice of all time?
Well, before Miami could run and complain this season, UCF walked back in 2017. Mm. They were 12-0 after beating Memphis in the AAC finale, but did not get an invite to the four-team college football playoff that winter. Little-known schools like Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama got in instead. The Knights overcame their grief. They beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl to finish the year 13-0. Now, they did not need to declare themselves national champions, hang a banner. I think there was a victory parade as well that winter. But they probably deserved a better fate than being left out of a four-team playoff.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a Scott Frost team, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mackenzie Milton was the quarterback.
He was great. Okay, let's hear from you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The greatest college football injustice. And we're doing this one preemptively for EJ because Miami is not going to be making it into the college football playoff. All right, coming up next, we also have some bad news for Deion Sanders. Do that next.
I have good news for you, Maggie. It's holiday time. That means all kinds of sports are going on, and the best way to enjoy them, definitely Prize Picks. Right now on Prize Picks, you can get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. It's so simple to use. You pick 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on their stat projections, and watch your lineups light up like the holidays. And right now, you get early payouts, too. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes.
I love that feature. I don't think I'm going to need it tonight, though, because I feel really good about my picks. I'm going to fade Pascal Siakam. 22.5 points to play in the Nuggets. I'm going to go less than. And then take me to college basketball. Ryan Conwell, Louisville, playing Arkansas on the road. 19.5. They're going to need a lot from Conwell. So give me more than with that combination. And that's my Wednesday night, and I'm feeling great about it. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, we've got a lot of topics on the table. If you want to express your outrage at the latest college football playoff committee ranking, please join the crowd. Has anyone ever been like, I'm happy with this? But give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm the only one here who's mad about Texas. This is ridiculous. That team is so good right now, the way they're playing. I think they could definitely go on a run, but they will not have the chance, much like Vanderbilt, too, who I love, and Miami, probably, who also could probably go on a run. They have a bunch of pros. You know how I judge teams, Maggie, and it's totally unfair.
Yeah.
Is how much NFL talent do they have? And this top 12, that is not how this top 12 is unfolding, although there is a lot of NFL talent up there. But if Jeremiah Love is, if Notre Dame gets screwed and he's not in there, then I'm not even watching.
So here's the one place that I'll agree with you, because I've not been a huge Texas supporter throughout the season, although I was impressed, obviously, with their win against A&M. But here's my thing. If the first game of the season is not going to count as far as Miami and Notre Dame's head-to-head results are concerned, where Miami beat Notre Dame, then why are we putting so much stock into Ohio State beating Texas in that first game? It's still the same thing. Or Alabama losing to Florida right. State in that first game. That's the one place I'll give it to you, right? If you're not going to use it as a data point, or it's only one data point for Miami, and it's used to kind of screw them over, or it does, you know, the head-to-head results are not being weighted nearly enough in most people's opinion, then why are we holding on to a close loss for Texas at Ohio State or Alabama's loss at Florida State? Alabama's loss at Florida State's definitely worse because they got really blown out. Like, not blown out, but they got really soundly beaten that game. But that's where I'll follow you with Texas.
Not only that, Texas.
That first loss should not
Texas,
mean a lot.
Who is just putting together a brand new roster because their entire team was in the NFL, took Ohio State to the last drive, had the ball in their hands in Ohio State. That loss is as impressive as anything that's happened in this season. I mean, who else is going to Ohio State and getting within a score? And honestly, they were just figuring out who they were as a team. So the committee is completely ignoring every rationale they've ever talked about.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the Texas supporters is that you act like the loss at Florida didn't happen.
Well, it definitely happened, but that team is like, that's no joke, man. They almost took out Georgia. Like that, when DJ Lagway was healthy, that team could beat a lot of teams. I mean, really healthy.
Well, okay, but you lost that game on the road. That's not a good loss, in my opinion. Ohio State, that's a good loss, if you want to call it that. It's not a good loss. And then you got Oklahoma with John Mateer off the thumb surgery, so that's an impressive-looking win. 23-6 was the final score. But I don't know. And then, obviously, you lost to Georgia.
So, let me ask you this. If Texas had two losses, would you have put them in there?
I didn't think Texas looked great a lot of the season. This is where you and I differ on this. I did not think that they looked awesome. Now, I'll give them credit for this. The win against Vanderbilt, that was actually a much bigger deficit until Vandy kind of scored a bit at the end to make that more respectable.
So if Texas had two losses, would you have put them in? You could be on the committee with that answer. I asked you a question. You went in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
You could actually, Maggie, be great in that little spot.
I think Florida, that was a bad loss, but they do have great wins over Texas A&M. They do have a win against Vanderbilt, and they do have the win against Oklahoma. I just think there's mitigating circumstances. But if we're using the eye test, which they seem to be using for teams like Notre Dame, well, then I don't think the eye test for Texas means that they're like this amazing team. I think Miami would beat Texas. I think Miami passes the eye test more than Texas.
Miami?
Yeah.
Who have Miami beaten except Notre Dame? Because Notre Dame's never ready for the beginning of the season. What game has Miami showed
you? Notre Dame beat Texas A&M last year at the beginning of the season. That's not true.
Anyway, like what is Miami beat Pitt? I mean, Texas would blow the doors off
Pitt. And by the
right
way,
now.
Pitt was ranked. They blow the doors off of Pitt. That didn't do anything.
Yeah, Pitt was not good this year. I know they got ranked because they beat the even worse ACC teams. But generally, like Texas has figured out a lot of things. They fix their offensive line. They have Colin Simmons running around like crazy. They have pros everywhere. Yeah, they're not a consistent team right now. But if they play their game in a neutral field, then I think they're very, very talented.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ifs and buts in there. And by the way, like, they lost to Georgia badly, whereas Alabama went to Georgia and won. So
if they had two losses, you would. So you're saying, well, they're 10-2. Are you putting them in?
No, not.
Okay.
Because I'm not taking Alabama out for them.
How about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's a different spot.
And by the way, John Matera hasn't
Oklahoma,
been that great
actually.
Even since that game.
They beat Oklahoma, so I'd have to put them in over Oklahoma because I do value head-to-head. Joe's in San Francisco has a thought because we were talking about how do you try to get around paying exorbitant amounts for every streaming service to watch sports. What's up, Joe? Joe, you there? Got to put Joe on hold. Let's go to Bogish. We know he's ready to roll. What's up, Bogish?
Am I? Chris Paul was supposed to spend his final season with his beloved Clippers, but the 40-year-old struggled, fell out of the rotation, got back in when Bradley Beal was lost for the season, but is now being sent home ahead of a divorce. CP3 posting on social media around 2:30 Eastern this morning while on a road trip in Atlanta that his time with the team was over. Team president Lawrence Frank saying in a statement, they'll work with Paul on his next move, adding that this is not about blaming him for their 5-16 start.
It's so funny, the idea of sending him home, like he's got to like walk into his door all sad, like his house.
Well, that's what I think needs to be explained here, right? It's one thing to go, all right, we're 5-16, we're falling apart, everything stinks, like we're switching into tank mode, we're going to let Chris go find a team, a contender to play for, and maybe he can win on his way out. But making him check out of the hotel in the morning on a road trip is so unceremonious and so abrupt.
Yeah.
It can't be a good gesture.
It's just so funny to me when someone says like to an adult, like, all right, it's time for you to go home. It's like, it's Chris Paul, he can go wherever he wants. Like he can fly to Paris right now. He can go to the Bahamas. No one's telling you have to literally drive to 123 Maple Lane, you know?
Right. But you got to get out of your Clipper hotel room right now. Like, that's the weird thing.
And they're in Atlanta, so it's on the East time zone. So, hey, Chris, it's 3 in the morning.
Cross country
flight. Pack your bags.
Right.
Do you think they kicked him out of the hotel? That's insane.
I think they did. This is messed up. I know the Clippers don't have a great history, obviously, but.
And a great present. They don't have a great current.
They don't have a great anything. Yeah. But this is obviously one of their greatest players of all time. Maybe the greatest Clipper of all time. And this is how he gets unceremoniously shown the door on a 3 a.m. tweet from Chris Haynes.
Toilets!
He's out of here. Like, this has been a really, even for the Clippers, an embarrassing year for them between the Kawhi stuff, between Pablo Torre, and now Chris Paul.
Pablo's so on this team's ass, it is crazy.
And Chris Paul just wanted a farewell tour. That's all he wanted. Like, this to me, honestly, this is the year where he should stay on the team. Like, nothing's happening.
1,160 toilets!
It's 15 spots on a roster. Like, he can have one.
Make him an assistant coach. How about the fact that maybe their head coach was like at one of these poker games that was rigged?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we still gotta wait for that to come down. Maybe. I mean, this has been a nightmare. I didn't think that we'd be going back to anything resembling Donald Sterling, but this is resembling Donald Sterling what I've seen from the Clippers this year. This is ridiculous.
Sorry, did anyone mention that the Thunder have their pick?
Possibly? Oh yeah,
that too. Yes.
There's that too.
And if you had your TV on last night, this is going to be an all-time draft. So that is amazing that the Clippers are going to miss on probably a superstar, too.
Oklahoma City gets Cam Boozer, I feel like this is not the system working.
Yeah.
Me and EJ are into the other guy, to Caleb Wilson, North Carolina. If they added him, oh, my God. Then, yeah, there's something wrong. But remember they put in laws? Because was that about the Cavs in the 80s where you couldn't trade first?
The Stepien rule. I thought that was about Isaiah.
No,
that
was about the Cavs.
They gave
my Sixers a couple first-round picks.
Yeah,
they were great back then. The Clippers have become the 1980s Cavs. Like, you're going to have to put in new rules to protect
spot.
You. But I have to be honest. Like, I do want to go to a game because I'm very curious about this bathroom situation.
Yes.
Toilets.
I'm curious about the wall.
Well, clearly it's not working because they won five games this year.
You're not going to use a urinal? You're going to go against the wall? What?
I want to see the wall.
It's not the link.
No, it's not the link, but apparently they smoke weed up there, which is crazy.
Well, that's like the old Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. My dad was there in the 80s. I wasn't there. I want to see
the 80s?
I want to see what this was like.
Early 2000s, go to the Garden and during a prize fight, you get a contact high.
Fair. But, I mean, I was too young.
That was
young.
Before the
I was
renovation.
11?
That was when I was allowed in the building, but I wasn't partaking in that stuff. I was just annoyed by it.
Sure.
Back to you both.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be smoking up with a couple of dudes watching a Miguel Cotto fight. Not my scene.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
That's not oddly specific.
It actually happened.
I got to be honest.
It was Miguel Cotto versus Antonio Barrios.
In November of 99. I wasn't there.
I ran into my neighbor on the platform in the subway on the way home.
I feel like the Garden has gotten crazy. Like, get to a Knicks game in the year 2000, you had to be basically a hedge fund manager.
No, this is back in the early 2010s. Yeah, no, this was not for prize fights. Like,
Fighting must be there because the Knicks games became out of control after that Larry Johnson team. Like, you could not get into
the Garden. Do not ask Maggie where she was when Felix Trinidad beat Oscar De La Hoya.
I want to hear. There's some people in New York that grew up in New York. You used to be able to walk onto the court when Bernard King was here. It was such a joke back in the day.
Oh, my dad tells stories about he used to get tickets from like the upper deck and would sneak all the way down.
Sneak down a little bit. The funny thing is, I feel like there was a time when getting onto the field was like not a big deal. I know Syracuse stormed the court yesterday. They beat Tennessee or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the Hank Aaron home run, famously, where two people snuck onto the field.
That was not good, though. They did not want those people out there.
No kidding. But it used to happen constantly.
I mean, when you win the pennant, everyone runs on the field. I mean, the Mets in 86, every time they won, they clinched the division and the World Series at home, and people were all over the field ripping up grass and taking dirt and stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, you guys, does anyone remember Morgana, the kissing bandit?
Sure.
She's on the field all the time.
Well, I don't remember, but I remember hearing about her.
Reggie Jackson, just absolutely crushing a random person.
Oh, my gosh. He's doing the forearm shiver.
Love that. I still think about that clip.
That was a big setup for a clip. Thank you, Bad Bunny.
When the Lakers beat, the Celtics beat the Lakers the first time in the 80s, like, the shot misses, and the amount of people around Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when that buzzer horn goes off, it is like a mob. I'm like, I don't know how he got out of the Boston Garden alive.
Guys, they didn't used to celebrate on the court. They would always celebrate in the locker room, I think, because people were just on the court.
It's crazy.
Better times.
You think so?
I don't care.
A long time ago, the Thunder were mentioned.
SGA working the angle right from 30. Crossing over twice, steps back, fires, angle right, three is on the way. Cha-ching, a Thunder money ball. Shea says, might be closing time, baby.
Matt Pinto. I got an idea for CP3. Why don't you go to the Thunder, man?
You wouldn't
They're
play.
Good.
You can get your ring.
They're all right.
That was Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. SGA with 38 in a 124-112 win at the Warriors. It's now 13 straight victories for OKC. They are 21-1 overall.
What a perfect spot for the former Thunder legend.
By the way, I think it'd be the new Spurs where they're going to be great and they're not necessarily going to be
sexy.
Or attention getting. Is it possible? Because, I mean, honestly, they beat the Warriors last night. It was only interesting because it was the Warriors.
There's not a lot of drama.
Yeah, the way they play is not dynamic like the Warriors were in 2015. Hey, there's no LeBron flying up and down the court.
You can be good and boring. That happens.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean you're any less of a champ. It's just we don't talk about you as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen here, which is okay. But
what if they're like historically good? Like the Spurs never won 73 games or anything like that.
Yeah, but the Warriors won that 73 games and didn't even win the title.
Right, but we cared a lot about it when it was happening.
Yeah,
I don't think we care as much about the regular season anymore because like the regular season record, because I just think the load management issue is still very prevalent.
Yeah. But what if the other thing too is last year's playoff team did not exactly storm through the playoffs. Like they were a lot of hard fought things. What if they win 16 straight playoff games? I don't know. They have a high bar to pass here for us to pay attention to them because we never talk about the Thunder.
I'm guessing Dan Hurley hated it, but fifth-ranked UConn won at the Fog last night.
Ball out front to Caravan. Caravan skips it over to Demery in front of the UConn bench. Sideline. Get it down low. Caravan ducks inside. Lays it in. Caravan delivers a deuce. And UConn leads by 5, 59-54.
Mike Crispino on UConn Radio. The Huskies 61, number 21, Kansas 56. Third win over a ranked team this season for those Huskies. Top-ranked Purdue got an 81-65 win at Rutgers. Number 4, Duke survived a thriller with number 15, Florida, 67-66. And number 7, Tennessee did take a 62-60 tumble at Syracuse last night. Before any conference championships or playoff games, college football's early signing period opened today. And Vanderbilt making a little history, getting 5-star QB Jared Curtis to flip from Georgia. Curtis is now by far the best recruit
in Commodore history. The NFL set its schedule for Saturday the 20th yesterday. We'll get Eagles Commanders 5 p.m. Eastern, then Packers Bears at 8:20, and the Tampa Bay Lightning 7-game win streak ended last night, a 2-1 loss at the Islanders. Back to you guys.
Folks, thank you so much. This was interesting. It got a lot of attention that this quarterback flipped from Georgia to Vanderbilt, Pearl, like the Diego Pavia effect.
Yeah.
But then I was looking at it a little more closely, like he's from Nashville.
Yeah.
He plays at a place called Nashville, Tennessee Christian School.
Right.
And how about this for a good week for this young man? They just won the state title on Thursday night. So I guess they played on Thanksgiving. He won the state title and then flips and now is going to be the hometown hero going to Vanderbilt. So it's a little, I think, like the Bryce Underwood thing, where Bryce Underwood is going to go to LSU, but he's from Ann Arbor or Detroit. And so he decided just to stay home.
Yeah, but Bryce Underwood went to Michigan. He didn't go to Vanderbilt. That's why this is much more surprising, because the actual school.
Sure, but it's like the hometown thing. It's not like he's from California and he just decided, you know what, forget Georgia. Yeah. I'm going to go to Nashville.
Well, wait until another university gives him a bag and he goes and transfers and, you know, gets the NIL deal.
But Diego
somewhere else.
Pavia never transferred.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
Just for he was three teams, I think.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
Do you think
State,
that Bryce
right?
Underwood's going to transfer? He got what, $8 million or something to go to? God bless.
Yeah, I think Maggie might be right. Like Bryce Underwood feels like Dylan Raiola hasn't even transferred yet, though he might this year.
The word is he might though.
Yeah, because his brother decommitted. Yeah. But generally, I think there's a chance if you really fall in love with the school and the local, that makes a difference. Yeah, I think Bryce Underwood stays. I think this guy has a great chance of being there.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, coming back, we have an update for you on Deion Sanders, so we'll get to that. And the Lane Kiffin circus, I can't even believe there's more to this story. How could there possibly be more? But there's more. And it got even more absurd. So we have to tackle that, and we will, gladly. It's the Maggie Perloff Show.
What am I saying?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Manny discovers the Beatles.
Yeah, this Ringo Starr guy could really sing.
Let's get to Daily Dion.
Daily.
Do you believe in that?
Dion.
You believe in that?
All right, Pearl. Don't know if you saw the latest. Colorado's in a little bit of trouble.
Nah.
Okay, Pearl's not biting on the story, let me tell you the particulars.
No, I love the story. I don't believe Colorado, but go ahead.
Okay, so according to Colorado, it was a pretty bad year this year, considering Dion had some pretty big quarterback recruits. But first year without Travis Hunter, first year without Shedeur Sanders, and it was it was basically a flop. Turns out Colorado's $27 million in debt, mm-hmm. according to them. Not just because of spending on the roster pro, but also because Deion's hauling in $10 million a year.
Right.
So what don't you buy about this?
Okay, so here's the report from, I think it's Sports Business Journal. They took in $136.7 million. They spent $163.7 million. Now, 60 of that was football. So that means there's $100 million. And it's a big operation, University of Colorado. So there's money flowing around everywhere. Like, what is that 100? Like, I look at that and be like, what's the other 100 million? Like, where did it go? Which administrators are pocketing this money? Feels like this is a gigantic scam.
Wow.
I mean, it's obviously a gigantic scam. They made $136 million. That's not enough to run. And the biggest expense is football. It's 60.4. What's the other $70 million for the Colorado gymnastics team? Like, what's going on here?
I should say they're projecting they will have a $27 million deficit. Projecting. They hasn't all come together
yet. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's costs all over this place. Like, they're obviously putting a lot on the books for the athletic department. It just feels like, wait, you bring in $136 million? That's not enough to run an athletic department?
Apparently not. Find yourself in the hole.
Well, yeah. I mean, then they blame the players. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
Well, they're giving the players the $20.5 million, right? So they've got because you're in a Power Four conference, you're going to need to spend that money to keep up your roster.
$20.5 million, right?
Yeah, and then Deion's got his $10
million. That's 30.
That's what I got.
$163 million.
Where's the money, Colorado? Where's the money?
I mean, listen, colleges are a scam right now. Everybody knows that. Like, the expense of colleges, like, I don't even think this is a one side of the aisle take. Like, everybody's kind of down on college right now. And then you're seeing, if you're watching Congress right now, everyone's like, what the heck is this industry? This is an utter joke. There was a congressman from Texas the other day who just went off on the Lane Kiffin thing in front of Congress, and they're about to vote on the SCORE Act today, which is legislation to fix the sport. And the costs are out of control. And Michigan State, on top of this report, is building a $1 billion facility. Like, what? Why? Why are you spending $1 billion on a facility when you can't even win anything? I think the blame the players is so classic college football administrator to me. It's just like the same scam they've been working for, 150 years now. I don't know. That's just my general take without studying it too much. But there is a lot of money that is not being accounted for here.
So the school said it's not going to cut any sports nor cut any resources for the student athletes. It's just going to cut expenses. They also stress that tuition money and state funds will not be used to address the deficit. There are people who are skeptical about this budget and the fact that they're, you know, heading for a $27 million deficit, saying that all this money is fungible, basically. So yeah. Why would you potentially have to have this deficit? Meanwhile, the athletic director's leaving. And I guess maybe here's the bigger question. Has this been successful for Deion? They won 3 games this year. Now, I know last year was successful, right? And you took over a 1-win team and you got better over 2 years. But is this year has been a major step backwards.
Successful for who? Like the program
Deion
as a whole?
For Deion. For Deion and I guess, well, if you want to say the program, but...
Is he leaving Colorado in a better place than when he eventually leaves? I guess that's the question, really.
Well, if he leaves after this year, they've got 3 wins. And when he took it over, they had 1 win. Now, they had a little bump there where obviously things were fun and, you know, all the celebrities were showing up, The Rock, Lil Wayne. And you also were 1 game away from playing in the Big 12 championship. So that was definitely the high point.
Yeah,
I mean, now we're back to a low point.
You have to remember, they were such an embarrassment before Deion got there that I think he is leaving in a slightly better place. At least he showed you can build something in Colorado. Now, you know, without getting into the weeds, I think he's leaving in a better place. Now, I don't think Deion's going to be long for this job without his son playing, right? Like, I get the sense it's coming to an end soon. So, is he successful? It depends where your bar was. If you thought he was going to win a national title, obviously not. But I think it's been a good experience. I think 1 or 2 exciting years at Colorado was worth it.
So not for me to count someone else's money. And I know Deion's gone through all of his health concerns, but he is making $10 million a year. Are you walking away from that?
Yeah, it's a great question.
The NFL is not only going to come calling. I think that potentially passed. He also said he only would want to coach his son. And I don't think the Browns and Shador... Nothing about that is on solid ground. So I don't think Deion's getting that job.
No, that $10 million, that's a good reason to come back.
Right? I mean, even if, you know, we saw a little, like, Deion's got the, I know he's obviously a very wealthy person already, but do you turn your nose up at $10
million? I wouldn't. You know, he's 58 and has had health problems. I think the health problems were in my mind. It does seem like those weigh in. Because it's not just one thing, too. It's multiple different things that keep on piling up on him. Obviously, we know, have you, what was he, the toe?
Was that had so, a few toes amputated?
Yeah, amputated. And I remember he used to come on DP show every year, and he would, before he'd sit down, he'd be like, yeah, I had this physical problem, not like nothing with the heart or anything. His legs from all those years of baseball and football had just given out on him. Yeah. So it is tough.
But, you know, he says that he doesn't recruit out of high schools. You know, he doesn't, it's not like he's crisscrossing the country. I'm not saying that he doesn't work hard. I'm just saying that's not the MO. He said that. It's as his words. You know, he's like, I can't walk into a high school because it's going to make everyone else. What was it that everyone else is going to be jealous or that he's going to make enemies? I'm like, I don't know. Nick Saban used to walk into high schools. It seemed like it hurt him too much.
Deion does have all those ads. I bet you he makes a couple mil a year doing that. Maybe he could be okay without the money.
Possible. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you consider Deion's run at Colorado, which is probably not over, but has it been a success or a flop? Coming up next, how this Lane Kiffin Ole Miss LSU story has gotten even more absurd. I don't know, but it has.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.